Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hit me!
It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And it's time for another episode. And just like every episode, we always begin with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
Starting lineup this week, LaRisha. Of course, you're thinking of college athletics in any way. You think about National Signing Day. You think about all the young student athletes across the country who sign their names. A letter of intent, big time for them, a happy and joyous time for the families. Mamas know somebody else is going to be paying for that grocery bill for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Because you know, some of these fellas still need money for groceries because they're greedy.
They really do. They really do. They're doing a good thing. Mamas got big smiles on their faces. Moms and dads saying, yeah, get them out of our refrigerator. And y'all feed them. So that's going to happen, and a lot of the coaches at the schools are excited, too. We're excited because the HBCUs have done their best to go out and get great talent to come in and continue the progress with some programs. And we always talk about what caliber athletes choose to come to HBCUs. Last year, we saw a player who was on Alabama's wish list decided to go to Grambling, a three-star player. We got a pair, not one, but 2 3-stars who decided to go to North Carolina Central.
Nice.
Let me give them a shout-out. One of them is Nicholas Witherspoon out of Ben L. Smith High School, Greensboro, North Carolina. 3-star-rated defensive end. This guy's a remarkable player, 6'3", 203 out of Greensboro, going to be a big-time pass rusher for the Eagles. What are the folks at A&T feel about him leaving Greensboro going over to Central?
I don't think they're too happy about that one.
Also, Darius Buchanan, a tight end out of Washington, D.C., Roosevelt High School, a 3-star rated wide receiver and tight end, a 3-sport athlete in high school. This guy is versatile, 6'3", 230. And he is on his way to North Carolina Central. So congratulations to the folks there at Central for getting some top flight players to come in and be a part of the program there. See if they continue the success and see if they can make it back to the Celebration Bowl with having these guys in. You know, we'll watch for that.
We sure will. What we will also watch for are these three players, these three HBCU players that were invited to the NFL Draft Combine. So on the list of three players, 2 from the MEAC, 1 from the SWAC. North Carolina A&T's Daryl Johnson, he's headed to the showcase. We know that he is defensive end. He won MEAC Defensive Player of the Year, so look out for him as well. Also, Morgan State's Joshua Miles, we talked about him before, and his opportunity to go play in one of those Senior Bowl games. He's going, he's getting ready for the Combine. And to wrap up the list of three players, HBCU players that will get a chance to showcase their skills to everyone in the league. You got Titus Howard of Alabama State. He's a 6'5", 300-pound tackle from Alabama, and he's going to have a chance to showcase what he has. Now, a person who I assumed or would think would be on that list isn't on there, and he's a good friend of the show. We spoke to him before. We always kind of talk about him a little bit here. Amir Hall, he was not on the list. He won't be able to showcase his skills to a lot of the NFL people, but he did have an opportunity to do so when he was invited to that bowl game. So yeah. Even though he was...
And he'll still work out. He'll still get to have a pro day.
Yeah.
He'll still get the chance to work out for those scouts. And once again, that, like you said, they made the most of his opportunity by playing in the All-Star game that was promoted by the NFL Players Association. Now he gets a chance to work out now for his pro day, get a chance to show himself once again to those scouts. We look to see him, you know, get an opportunity to play at the next level because, indeed, he has been the top flight player for all HBCU football.
Now, actually moving to players who are in the National Football League representing HBCUs, we talked about him before, and we got to talk about him again because he was named the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. Do you know who I'm talking about, Mr. Crenshaw?
Yes. Would it be a certain player from the Indianapolis Colts?
Yes, it is. It is Darius Leonard. He might have been snubbed, you know, Pro Bowl votes or whatever, but he got an award that he so rightly deserves, the NFL Defensive Rookie Award for 2018. He was given that award during the NFL Honors when the Super Bowl was actually here in Atlanta.
Yep, big event that was held over at the Fox Theater. The best of the best. Everybody's dressed up all nice, pulling up in the limos and everything, and having a great time here doing Super Bowl weekend. Great to see him representing the Colts, but also representing South Carolina State. You know, the folks down in Orangeburg are awfully proud of what he's done this year and the way he's shown himself in the National Football League. Very capable. And I'm with you, Larisha. Should have gotten that Pro Bowl nod, I thought.
I think we have some other news about a new coach coming into the MEAC.
Morgan State. Bears Den up in Baltimore. They got a new head man. And for people who follow the National Football League and the Big Ten, it's a name you will recognize. Tyrone Wheatley still ranks second on the all-time rushing list at Michigan. Also was a Big Ten track champion in the hurdles. Of course, now he had 10 years in the National Football League as a player, and he comes now to be the head football coach at Morgan State University, the 22nd head football coach in the history of that program, after serving on Doug Marrone's staff for the past 2 years as a running back coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tyrone's been coaching a lot in the National Football League and in the collegiate level, coached some at Syracuse, been an assistant coach with the Buffalo Bills, and also at Michigan. So that's a big part of his background. I'm sure a lot of players will figure if I play for him, he knows what it takes to help me maybe get ready to go to that next level, have a chance to play. So watch out for the Morgan State Bears now with a new head football coach. It is Tyrone Wheatley, the former Michigan All-American, is coming to coach in the MEAC.
You talk about someone going in, let's talk about someone who's actually heading out. And that person happens to be Von Wilson of Florida A&M. He is the SID over there, longtime sports information director, and a former center and punter with the Rattlers. He's stepping away from his role again as the SID effective June 30th. Now, we know that this announcement came as a shock to the entire staff over there, but he is preparing to transition, and he joined and has been with them in that staff capacity since October of 2009. So good luck to Mr. Wilson and all his endeavors as he gets ready to make this transition.
We do wish him all the best, by the way, and I'm sure the people there at Florida A&M, him being a Rattler himself, will miss having him in the mix and all that they do, but we still wish him all the best as he moves forward.
Now, we've mentioned this young lady before. I know I actually had the opportunity to talk with her after she hit this record the first time. Well, guess what? She did it again. Shekyla Hill. Yes, she did.
Did she do it again?
She did it again.
My goodness.
She recorded her second career quadruple double. Can you believe it, Mr. Kershaw?
Wow. How does she do that?
She's just
not just
a beast,
once, but
yo.
do it again.
She's just a beast. Like, she is officially, well, I can't say officially because she already did it before, but she continues to make her presence known and making sure she's a part of history for college women's basketball. Of course, she goes to Grambling State. When they defeated Arkansas Pine Bluff 77-57, she, again, recorded that quadruple double. So in that game, again, as they went past Arkansas Pine Bluff 77-57, Hill finished with 21 points, 16 rebounds, 13 assists, and 10 steals, earning her second career quadruple-double. And she also did it shooting 7 of 15 from the floor and 6 of 9 from the free throw line in 32 minutes of action.
And did she drive the bus and wash the uniforms? That's about the only thing she hadn't done.
The girl is good, okay? The girl is good. So congratulations to Shekyla Hill for another history-making moment. Congratulations, girl. Keep going. Keep shining. Keep flying, queen, because you're doing it.
Meanwhile, in the MEAC, some rulings were handed down about an incident that took place, Larisha.
Uh-oh, what happened?
We had some problems.
What problems?
At the end of the Norfolk State and Howard men's basketball
Your
game.
Your cousin's acting up over
oh,
there?
Oh, why? Why must it happen? Why must it happen? I mean, the competition gets really intense sometimes. So the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference announced the suspension of 6 student-athletes after an altercation following that game. So the games, of course, are going to have to miss some games as well, because student athletes are expected to treat opponents with respect. They must be aware of significant penalties that will be applied for fighting, taunting, an opponent, or other unethical conduct. That is part of the MEAC's rule. And so thus, the Norfolk State student-athletes will be suspended for the Spartans. Next game coming up tomorrow, February 9th, at Bethune-Cookman. Howard student-athletes are also suspended for this week's game against Florida A&M. Get it together, folks. You can't compete if you're going to be sitting on the sideline because you get into altercations during the game. That's coming out of the MEAC.
Coming up next, a segment we like to call Straight from the Source. We are going to be joined by the newly elected College Football Hall of Famer, Joe Taylor. He's going to join us, and we are going to chat with him to find out, you know, just how he feels about this honor and everything else. We could talk to him for hours, can't we, Ms. Crenshaw?
Sure could. So stay with us.
We'll be right back. More HBCU Play on the way.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's Larisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with Larisha Harris here in Atlanta. And now it's time for a segment we like to call Straight from the Source. And what a source we have for this week's show. Newly elected to the College Football Hall of Fame, Coach Joe Taylor joins us, athletic director now at Virginia Union. Coach Taylor, good morning. Welcome to HBCU Play.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Sam. And thank you guys, Ms. Harris, for reaching out. And certainly, yes, tremendous honor. Very humbling. But really, Sam, all it really means is that I've really been around a lot of great people during my career, in terms of administrators, outstanding assistant coaches, and truest of all, a lot of great student athletes. It's just been a blessing, and I'm very, very humble.
Coach, take me through your thoughts, your feelings when you found out about this honor, when you knew that you were elected to be a part of the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I think when it really hit me, the significance of it, is when I saw the some numbers. 5.3 million have participated in the game of football at the college level since 1869. And of that, only 1,000 players have been inducted, and only 217 coaches. And of the 217 coaches, 12 African Americans. Well, that said, whoa, this is pretty significant. And again, it just the outpouring of love from so many of my former players, former coaches, and also administrators reached out to me. And again, I keep saying it, but it's just truly humbling. And I just appreciate the Lord for just blessing me with a great career.
Spending some time here on HBCU Play with Joe Taylor, phenomenal coach in his days, especially there at Virginia Union, but also in the MEAC at Hampton and Florida A&M, and now the athletic director there at Virginia Union. Thoughts about your time as a coach and just working? You're just doing what you do. You're not thinking about, you know, being in this Hall of Fame years later. But talk about your work ethic and the things that you wanted to instill and the trademarks that you wanted to have on the Joe Taylor coach team.
Well, thanks so much. Sam, I did write a book called The Making of a Champion. Success is an Inconvenience. And really what that entails, and of course the book is full of a lot of my former players giving testimony. And wherever we went along, the idea was, I always thought that the definition of a coach is someone who takes people to places that they cannot go by themselves. And you do that by, first of all, putting a blueprint in place. And the blueprint is simply talking about controlling your dash, elevating people's standards, and making sure that when they control that dash, D-A-S-H, it's all about discipline, having the proper attitude, understanding that you have to sacrifice, and you got to watch your habits. If you control those four, now you are in control of your own life. And luckily, fortunately, young men bought into it because I remember going to, when I left Virginia Union in 91 to take over the program at Hampton, Hampton was on everybody's schedule as homecoming because they just didn't win. They, you know, and we took, the team was 3-8 the year before we took over. And we went down the very first year, and our record was 9-2 with the same kids. So, again, they bought into the fact of, you know, you got to have discipline if you're going to be successful in this life. Your attitude must be in the right place. And attitude meaning, you know, we got to find a way to flush negativity. You are not a mistake. You were born to be successful, expect to be successful, prepare to be successful. And then the sacrifice part, there's no such thing as laying under a shade tree trying to get in shape to play this game. And then your habits. Man does not decide his future. Man decides his habits. So if you get your habits straight, you get your life straight. And all of that is just a spinoff of one of my mentors. I used to call and just talk to at least two or three times a week was Eddie Robinson. And I just give him so much credit for this career because when I was here at Virginia Union and in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, we played Grambling in the Meadowlands in the Whitney Young Classic. And, of course, Eddie, he came to get Virginia Union because he just wanted to a little old team that he could beat up on and brag to the alumni. But we went up there and actually won that ball game 47-36. And I think from that point, this career began to come out of obscurity because you're playing Grambling, you're playing the great Eddie Robinson, and you're in the mecca, media mecca of the world in New York. So that's really when it all began to take place, and I really wanted Eddie to respect me as much as I respected him. So out of 10 times playing Eddie, we never lost. And I give him credit because, again, you're talking about the one of the giants in this business called coaching.
Coach Taylor, you talked a little bit about dash, which I really like how you put that, discipline, attitude, sacrifice, habits, and saying that success is an inconvenience. We know that you played at Western Illinois University. You played offensive line there underneath a College Football Hall of Fame coach. What would you say are some things that you took away from him, from your coach there, and kind of implement it into your style of coaching and into your guys?
Well, Daryl Mudra, yes, I played for him at Western Illinois. And, you know, that is such a great question, and it really kind of reflects back, too, because the thing I learned playing for Daryl is that treat a man as he is and he will be. Treat him as he can be and he will become. He really had a real keen sense of how of creating worth. You know, we would go out to practice, and after we were finished warming up, he would put everybody, stop everybody in their footsteps and put everybody on a knee, and he would start reading Shakespeare. You know, and we were trying to figure out, what is this guy doing? But he was always putting into people a sense of self-worth that, again, you are not a mistake. And he just, in fact, when I graduated from Western, Daryl was leaving Western Illinois to go to Florida State. And he wanted me to join him as a graduate assistant at Florida State, but I had already committed to Bob Hedden, which is one of the greatest high school coaches in the country. But at the time, he was at Cardozo High School in Washington, D.C. And I played for Bob, you know, in high school. And I just appreciated all that he had done in terms of getting me out of the hallways of Cardozo. And I said, listen, you're going to play football. And of course, you know, getting a scholarship to go on to Western, Bob was all a part of that. So, you know, I couldn't go with Daryl to Florida State because I had already committed to Bob that as soon as I graduated, I would come back and help coach with him. And at the time, he was at H.D. Whitson High School in D.C. And I went back and I coached with Bob for 5 years. Well, Daryl kept calling. And, you know, I had made a commitment. And also, I had started a wrestling program in Washington, D.C., which they didn't have because I thought that there was a lot of young men that didn't have the stature to play football, didn't have the stature to play basketball. But in wrestling, you only wrestle against somebody your same stature and, you know, same weight. So we started that program, a wrestling program in D.C., and we're very successful. But Daryl, after getting fired from Florida State and Bobby Bowden took over, Daryl kind of retired. But Mike Mullally, who was the AD at Eastern Illinois, went down and sat on the banks, fishing banks, with Daryl and convinced him to come out of retirement and take the job at Eastern. Well, I was one of the first guys that Daryl called. And in 1978, we left the D.C. public schools with Bob Hedden, and we got on the college level for the first time. And the very first year, 1978, we won a national championship in football. So Daryl, again, his ability to just create self-worth, and, you know, so many of us probably didn't realize the level in which we could have, you know, rise. But it was his philosophy of self-worth and giving everybody a chance. I think that's really what I took from him, and I instituted that in my program in terms of, you know, you don't see young men as you see them. You see them 5 or 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
Where are they? And we always ask the kids, where do you want to be 5 or 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's where you want to be, now, what are you doing today to make sure that when 10 years come, you have arrived?
Yeah.
And I think that came from Daryl Mudra.
Fantastic wisdom from Coach Joe Taylor. Coach, we got another segment. We want you to hang on with us. Can you hang on for another segment with us, please?
Yes.
Okay, folks. Stay tuned. The Playbook is coming up next, spending more time with new Hall of Famer Joe Taylor. He's at Virginia Union. He's joining Sam and Larisha on HBCU Play.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the Playbook.
That's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here, Sam Crenshaw alongside me, and we are continuing our conversation as we head into the Playbook with newly inducted or getting ready to be inducted Hall of Famer Coach Joe Taylor. We know that you have been with Virginia Union as the athletic director for quite some time now, Coach. I want to ask you, I mean, is it hard for you to stay off the sidelines when you are at the football games?
You know, I've kind of transitioned from coaching players to coaching coaches. And in that vein, in 2012, my fifth year at Florida A&M, it was my 40th year of coaching. And I just said, well, 40 years, my God, you got to know when to, you know, step away. And after 40 years of a real blessed career, I kind of stepped back and I wrote the book. And I was moving around just, you know, doing motivational speaking and putting on leadership workshops. And Dr. Perkins, who was the president here, said, listen, I know you retired, was living in Tallahassee. Bobby Baldwin and I was losing golf balls about twice a week on the golf course. But he convinced me to come and said, Coach, I just need for you to come and get my athletic program organized. Well, we took on the challenge. Now, I don't know. I signed a 3-year contract, but this is the 5th year, so I don't quite understand how that works, but I'm still here. But the key of it is you really take the same principles that you utilized as a coach, because, again, I feel like I'm still coaching, but just another level in terms of, like I say, transitioning from coaching players to actually now coaching coaches. And, you know, we just came in, we did a SWOT analysis and looked at, the state of the program coming in. And it was obvious they had gone 10 years without any championships here at Union. Well, in the last 4 years, we've won 15 championships. And it's really applying the same philosophies, because young people, when they come to you, when they graduate and they get to college, we have an obligation to make sure that their experience is one that they can enjoy and they develop. And again, we just elevate standards. And when you do that, there's certain things you got to stop doing, and there's some things you must start doing. And once we put those standards in place, then as coaches, because like I said, the definition of a coach is somebody who takes people to places that they cannot go by themselves. And it's obvious that the coaches that were here in place didn't seem to understand that. So we made made 8 changes. Women's basketball, men's basketball, football, volleyball, golf, and we just, looked at the whole program, and he gave me autonomy to kind of look at it and make the kind of, decisions and changes that I thought was necessary so that these young folks could have a good experience. And we've put those things in place. And I don't know how much longer, but I do think that if we can get corporate America to get behind us more and upgrade our facilities, I think that's a goal that I have in mind here and I would like to see happen. But in the meantime, it's just important that these kids are graduating, that they have their chin off their chest because their heads are high. They feel good about who they are. They feel good about what's going on in their life. I do enjoy seeing that, and the Lord's blessed me. I'm still in good health. I'm not taking any medicine, except for a cold every now and then. So we don't know how long it's going to go, but the Lord is still blessing.
Fantastic, fantastic. Spent some time on HBCU Play this week with Joe Taylor, newly elected to the College Football Hall of Fame, will be inducted later this year. Please have been spending some time. You mentioned being in that role. Of course, you're back in the CIAA after spending some time in the MEAC. The CIAA made big news recently by moving the location of the basketball tournament as an athletic director. Your thoughts about that move and your thoughts about being back attached to the CIAA tournament?
Well, I think really, the CIAA has really been known over the years for a real strong basketball conference. Over the years, from what I've been told, it ranks somewhere around second or third in terms of attendance, in terms of all of basketball, tournaments. And, it's been a lot of great people to come through, the Big House games, the guy Dave Robbins, who was here at the Union, was very successful, and Earl the Pearl Monroe. I mean, it's just you can go on and on. Stephen A. Smith. So it's a great tournament. It creates great experiences again for our young people, for our alumni. Whereas I think the MEAC was probably more known for football. But even though since being back and moving around on these different Saturdays to watch football games, I'm really impressed, though, that these coaches do a great job of recruiting. They do a good job of game planning. So it is very competitive when it does come to football. But I think the North Carolina situation had a – it got to be a little bit, you know, political in terms of some bills that were passed. And, you know, so I think moving back up north, I'm sure the fans appreciate the fact that they don't have to go 4 or 5 hours down to Charlotte after next year, and that they can, you know, because at one time I think it was in Baltimore when, of course, Morgan was with the CIAA. So I think Jackie McWilliams is doing a great job of leading this conference as our commissioner. And, you know, it was not without challenge. I don't care where you are. But I think, you know, we're doing a good job of still trying to create that atmosphere where our young people are still enjoying their, you know, their college education, as well as the competition part, whether it's the basketball court, whether it's the football field, whether it's the track, softball. So I'm enjoying it, and I think at this age and people still – want you around and think that you can bring value, again, I think that's a real, real blessing.
Yep. Coach Taylor, you mentioned facilities and corporate partnerships earlier. I want you to look into the distance, if you could bring out your crystal ball and look into the future for HBCU athletics and what it's going to take for sustained success and to raise the level of it going forward. What would be your wish?
Well, and that's a real good question too, Sam. And you know, back in the day, and I'm saying that back in the day when you had your maybe your Bob Hayes at the Florida A&Ms, and I don't know, your Doug Wims, and countless number of SWAC players. You know, at one point they, you know, we were not allowed into the PWIs, in the sense that, you know, we were welcome. But all of that has changed, and I think parents now just need to understand that all that glitter is not gold, that it's not about just becoming great athletes, but well-rounded people. And I think the HBCUs offer that well-roundedness that sometimes is probably missing at the PWIs. And every once in a while, you're going to see, in fact, when we was at Hampton, we had a couple of young men that had had scholarships in front of them on National Signing Day that they could have gone either to UCLA or gone to Hampton, and they chose Hampton. Well, we just got to keep banging the rock, keep doing what we do, because, again, all that glitter is not gold. And if you look at a lot of African-Americans who have done well beyond college, they are graduates of HBCUs. So we got to stop believing the hype. We got to stop thinking that, you know, grass is greener on the other side, and that we need to support our own. And I see that because of the world today, as much as it's changed, it still remains the same. It's so divisive. You know, our leadership in our country today is pretty obvious that, you know, no matter, you know, where we go, I think people still are letting us know that they feel superior. So we got to stop believing the hype. And I think, you know, corporate America is going to see it. We got to, again, at least get to the table, because, see, if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu. So leadership at the HBCU's got to get downtown around the government and kind of let them know that we do bring value. But if you're not there to talk about it, you get left out. But I charge our leadership, of course, Hakeem Lucas, who's the president here. This guy is so amazing. He's only 40 years old, but energetic, 5 different degrees. And he's downtown. He's letting this city know that we are of value. We bring value. You can't make it, you know, without us. So give us our part. So we got to stop living in a cocoon and make sure that we are out there and not just doing great things, but let people know the great things that we're doing. And I see as we continue to move forward, you're going to see more and more 3, 4, 5 stars understanding that all that glitter is not gold, and that if you want that life that's more well-developed, well-rounded, you need to go to the participate in your HBCUs.
Yeah. That's a great note for us to wrap things up on. Coach, thanks so much for the time. Always great talking with you. Congratulations to you once again on a well-earned honor being elected to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, congratulations.
Well, thank you guys so much for all that you all do. And please know you all are making a difference, and we just thank you for it.
All right, that is Coach Joe Taylor spending some time with us, a new Hall of Famer. Coming back with more time for the tip-off with Sam and Larisha here in Atlanta, HBCU Play.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.